Welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Wade Gershner with you as high school football begins week one. Coming up this Friday, we'll have games for you on both our radio stations, and we are looking forward to the high school football season. And here to talk about it is the publisher of Kansas Pregame Magazine, John Betts. The magazine is out at various sponsor locations, and today we're going to talk about 8-man Division II and 8-man Division I. Then we'll focus on 11-man football coming up tomorrow at classes 1A, 2A, and 3A. But first, John, I have to ask, how many magazines did you guys print this year, and are they all delivered and ready to go?
Yeah, we printed about 10,000 copies, and we'll get 97% of that out in circulation, or have gotten it out in circulation. And we, you know, over the years, the changing environment of social media and websites and things like that has impacted my distribution process and kind of how I roll everything out. And I'm really not 100% sure that I'm doing it in the best way that's most effective, because I launched the digital edition just as soon as I get it done. And then it takes me another 10 days to get the printed product finished because of the turnaround time from the printer, and get it out, you know, distributed all across the state. And we, because of our sponsor makeup, we probably had a more complete swath of the state as far as having printed copies out this year than we've had in the past. Not necessarily a larger press run, just we had 10 locations in Wichita this year and 20 locations in Kansas City, Lawrence area, and some of those kind of things. And so I you know, going forward, I would really like to get it out earlier. And of course, that's me. I've got to get my schedule around. I have a new full-time employee, Keegan McCulloch. You know, some of the Boyd area listeners might know him as the former Minneapolis high school quarterback. He just turned 30, and also a good basketball player in the McCulloch family. His mom's the head volleyball coach at Minneapolis. And he's done a couple different things. He's got a history degree from Kansas State and did a couple different careers. And he actually wrote for me while in college, kind of right out of high school. And we have kind of circled back. And he's the first full-time employee since I sold the newspapers 3.5 years ago. So excited to have him on board full-time. We had Lauren Dubert as an intern this summer through the Next Generation Roundup for Youth program, which has been something that we've taken advantage of for 3 years now. And of course, she did a great job. She actually, when you're reading the magazine, you're reading capsules. She formatted probably 70% of those capsules that are in terms of, if you see how it says record, head coach, returning statistical leaders, all of that stuff, she does all of that. So she was a huge help to us this summer. And as we go forward, I hope I can get things organized now that I have a full-time employee so that I can actually get the printed product out earlier in the summer, hopefully by like the end of July, and I can release the digital edition and the printed product at the same time so that it's more impactful, I think, in that way.
Right. John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame Magazine. It's out at sponsor locations. Digital format is out there as well. So let's jump into previewing, because the high school football season will begin this Friday night. Let's start in 8-man Division II, where we have many of our local teams here in the KD Country 94 and Z96.3, the Lake listening area. Your rankings preseason 8-man II. Big shocker here. Hanover number one, Victoria number two, Osborne at three, Thunder Ridge at four, Wheatland Grinnell at five, others, Axtell, Caldwell, Central Plains, Frankfort, Lakeside, Lebo, Norwich, Onega, Pike Valley, Sylvan Lucas, South Barber, and South Central. So we have a couple of area teams that are in your preseason top five and 8-man two, Osborne at three, Thunder Ridge at four, and a couple others that you have mentioned, Pike Valley, Sylvan Lucas, and Lakeside. That pretty much covers most of our schools in 8-man Division II. So let's start there with Osborne. Why do you have Osborne at three and Thunder Ridge at four in your top five?
Well, Osborne has the sure kids back, and that gives them some tremendous speed. They are more experienced. Last year they were pretty young, and they graduated such a great group. They lost close games. They've got a really tough district. Thunder Ridge is going to be very good. You know, Lakeside's going to be very good. Those guys battled last year. Also, I'm intrigued by the fact that Mitch Engelken has joined Steve Tarrant's staff at Osborne, and he's a kid that played for Steve at Baileyville.
At Baileyville, Baileyville B&B. You know how old I am, John? I called games when Mitch played at Baileyville B&B, and Steve was out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You are old.
And he was a good – he was a really tough, hard-nosed, good player.
And he spent the last few seasons as an assistant at Axtell. And actually, it was kind of later in the summer that he made the move to Osborne. But I think he'll be a factor. And they've also got a really nice young linebacker QB product, potentially a QB product for them, whose name is escaping me right now. Big, tall kid that is just heading into his sophomore year and had like 60 tackles for them last year. Can you tell me who I'm talking about?
You're thinking of the Guttery kid? Is that who you're thinking of?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Dope Guttery. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that kid's going to be a factor for them. And I just think that, you know, that Osborne has a down season like that under Coach Tiernan. Those are rare.
Yeah.
And when you've got speed in the backfield with the Shurs, you've got an upcoming young player in the Guttery kid, you've added a quality member to your staff who knows exactly what you want after playing for you, I think that puts you in a good position to be one of the better teams in the classification. But I want to add one thing, and of course, you know, we've done this for a while now, so there's always a lot of hedging of the bets, but it is so hard to predict this stuff early in the season, and especially with the smaller the class gets, the harder it is to predict, because one injury can change everything, you know, those kind of things. But I also generally, you can get the top two or three teams and feel pretty good about it. But then once you get outside of that, it's such a guessing game. But just looking at this classification, I think it may be fairly balanced, you know. And I guess I'm going to move on away from Osborne a little bit here, but Hanover graduated a lot of talent. You know, they graduated Jacob Juniman. They graduated the Clip kid, who was outstanding. Probably doesn't, you know, he doesn't get the credit that he deserves for the success that they had last year. They graduated a bunch of pieces, so I don't think this is the dominant Hanover team that it was last year. I think they've got to plug in some new spots, and you know, certainly they'll be there at the end of it, regardless. But it may not just be score 50 points a game and hold every team off the board and those kind of things this year for Hanover.
There are two teams in our area that really intrigue me this year in 8-man 2, and we've talked you know, about Osborne, but Thunder Ridge intrigues me because they lost most of their games. They lost last year were, I mean, nail biters, heartbreakers. I mean, they had close games throughout the year, and they could easily had a much better record. And, of course, the heartbreaker in the playoff game against Axtell. I mean, they've got virtually everybody back. They certainly, I would think, are going to use that as motivation going in. To me, they're very intriguing. You have them ranked 4. And the other team that really stands out to me in our area that I'm really keeping an eye on is Lakeside, because Lakeside, their season was kind of up and down in regards to with COVID and practices and kids not being able to play. And we saw that especially in basketball, where they missed half their season due to COVID-19. And it seemed to me like they got better as the season went on, both in football and basketball. And they've got very talented class of kids that are close to each other, work well together. Thunder Ridge and Lakeside and of course Osborne, Thunder Ridge, Lakeside, Pike Valley, and of course there's St. John's Tipton. They're all in that same district, and that's going to be a really, really fun district to watch, and we could see people beat up one another and nobody comes out of there undefeated.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, I agree with everything that you're saying. I got a chance to watch Thunder Ridge play Lebo last year in a neutral site game at Sylvan Lucas, which was, I think that both teams had cancellations and they ended up connecting with each other and playing there.
Yep.
And it was played earlier in the day because they had so far to travel. And I was able to go and watch that. And Thunder Ridge and Coach Strukoff will tell you this, they just tackled horribly. I mean, they just, you know, the McEwen kid from Lebo is an outstanding player. You know, one of the all-time great small class basketball and football players in the state of Kansas. They they let him run all over them. He was constantly running out of their grasp and those kind of things. And a lot of the young kids, there were a lot of sophomores playing last year for Thunder Ridge, and I think that they learned from those types of experiences. They don't have a tremendous amount of team speed. Of course, the Bice kid and the Wagon Blast kid, they have good size. You know how Hanover has like 20 kids that are 6'1", 185 every year?
Yeah.
There's a lot it seems like there's a lot of those types of kids for Thunder Ridge right now. And they're not necessarily going to outrun you in a foot race, but I think that they're going to be much more disciplined this year, and they're going to be very physical, and they're going to be able to execute, and certainly could be a very good team. And then Lakeside, of course, Kylan Cunningham and Jay Schoen cover kids for us this year. We tried to do multiple kids from most of the schools that we had. You know, Jace had nearly 1,000 yards receiving last year, pretty unheard of for any school in the state of Kansas, you know, not just eight man, because especially if you have a good team, a lot of times you may not get to play that long to where you can put up those types of numbers. But we just, even though spread offenses lead to more passing yards in the modern era than they have in the past, you know, you just don't see a single receiver get close to 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
And of course, Kylan Cunningham is a very good dual threat. And they've got several other pieces that are going to work together with those guys to really give them a chance to be successful. You mentioned Pike Valley. You've got the Reeves kid there. I actually went to high school with Keaton's mom, and there's like a dozen kids in that family, and they're all outstanding athletes. They're just really shifty and athletic and confident. They do a great job. So I think if you have a healthy Keaton Reeves at Pike Valley, you have a chance to be a factor. You know, they graduated a couple of big kids up front that'll hurt them on defense and along the offensive line as well. But as long as Keaton's healthy, you've got a chance to be competitive in any of those games. And it'll be, I think there'll be a lot of those. You'll go in and you'll think, oh, you know, Thunder Ridge is rolling along, and I think they might be in the best position or whatever, and then they're going to have and you never know. It might be a 20-18 game, or it might be an 80-60, you know, or 80-70 game, and there'll be a lot of good games in that district.
John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame Magazine, our guest today. We're breaking down 8-man Division II, 8-man Division I before the high school football season begins this Friday. St. John's Tipton's also in that district, also Rock Hills from our area. Rock Hills will have a new head coach. And then St. John's Tipton, of course, losing the Perez boys, who were 8-man All-Stars. They got the Eitzman kid back, who is a very talented quarterback. What are your thoughts there on St. John's Tipton and Rock Hills in that district before we move on to Sylvan?
Well, I was gonna point to the loss of the Perez twins as well. You know, certainly those were a couple of really good athletic players that were key on both sides of the ball. But I think, and I may have actually written this in their capsule notes, I think they still have some tricks up their sleeve. I think that they can be a factor, but, you know, obviously they're going to have to replace that lost production. Especially I think in the offensive backfield where they were the primary ball carriers and did most of the work for them last year.
And then Rock Hills, they have a new head coach, and certainly they lost some talent from last year as well.
I know, you know, going into the season, I think they were a little bit concerned about numbers, but I believe I saw somewhere that they had like 20 kids out for the team. So, I mean, those are pretty good numbers. And they've got Grant Myers back, really nice young player that is probably going to carry a bulk of the load for them offensively, is also their leading returning tackler. The coach, Sawyer Hovenstein, I assume I'm saying that correct, was previously at Valley Falls and really did a pretty solid job for a Valley Falls program that has struggled in football for quite a few years. So it'll be interesting to see what product Rock Hills puts on the field this year.
And then Sylvan Lucas, they have some talent coming back. Of course, they're not in the same district, but Sylvan Lucas, kind of in your backyard, what are your thoughts on them and the Mustangs this year?
I really like Sylvan Lucas, and people are going to point to the graduation of Trey Barrientos, and a kid that doesn't get as much recognition, but Logan Buttonhoff graduated. So they lost some really good big guys up front. But Jaren Bohr, the tailback, he is a really nice player. Dayton Kaus, who played fullback for them and is probably also going to get plugged in along the offensive line. Big kid, physical, but really the kid is like 6'2", 230, somewhere in that range. But he actually returned a kickoff for a touchdown last year, and it was kind of deceptively quick. He's not going to run away from you necessarily, but he's not the slowest guy on the field either. And Jackson Heenan is a kid that doesn't necessarily look like a quarterback, but I described him as a game manager. And I think sometimes that connotation is negative when we're talking about the NFL and things like that. But at the high school level, what that means to me is that you understand how to get the ball to the different people in your offense. Or with Sylvan Lucas, it's going to be out of the option. So you do a great job of riding the fullback and knowing when to pitch and doing those kind of things. And I think he does all those things. And then there's the Rudolph kid in the defensive backfield that had 7 interceptions last year. I think they've got a number of pieces to be a factor and potentially make another playoff push, even in spite of the graduation of Trey Barrientos.
All right, putting you on the spot. 8-man-2 championship game will be who versus who?
Hanover versus Victoria. I guess I'll go with the 1 and 2 that I have.
Right.
Unless, of course, it always seems like there's a team in the far west that's on the east side. So as long as Victoria is not on the east.
Right.
I'll go Hanover and Victoria.
If Victoria is in the east, the map has to be redone, that's for sure. John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame Magazine, out at sponsor locations across the state of Kansas, also online digitally as well. Let's shift to 8-man Division 1 before we conclude today, and then tomorrow we'll preview Class 1A, 2A, and 3A with John. 8-man 1, Canton Galva number 1 in your preseason rankings, top 5, Madison 2, Clifton Clyde 3, Little River defending champs at number 4, Wichita County at 5. You got some others here: Argonia, Attica, Burlingame, Chase County, Gossel, Donovan West, Hill City, Hoxie, La Crosse, Yates Center, Sedan, Ness City, Medicine Lodge, and Mead. Why Canton Galva number 1, and probably the closest team out of that group that I just went over that people be interested in our area that they're familiar with would be, of course, Coach Steinbrock and Clifton Clyde.
Yeah, Canton Galva number 1 because of Garrett Maltby and Tyson Struber. A lot of people probably heard of Tyson Struber before, and he was a cover kid of ours, a K-State verbal commit to play wide receiver at the FBS level. Of course, that doesn't happen a lot in the 8-man-1 world, but this is a guy that K-State's been on for quite a while now, and he is he's not super tall, 6'1", but really, if you've ever seen him in person, he just is built just perfectly to be a wide receiver, a D-back, whatever. Actually, potentially, he probably could put the weight on to play linebacker, but he's just so athletic. And Garrett Maltby is a kid that throws an outstanding ball. He had 4 interceptions last year, and unfortunately for him, all 4 of those interceptions came in the Madison game. Kind of a fluke deal. Not to take anything away from Madison, because a great team. But, you know, he just had a bad game, and that just happened to be, you know, it turned out that they lost that quarterfinal matchup where a lot of us felt like they were probably headed for a repeat in the state title game. They graduated a lot. They graduated Braden Collins in the backfield, really outstanding running back and linebacker. They graduated a bunch of guys up front on both sides of the ball. But as long as Garrett and Tyson stay healthy, I really think that they have other pieces that they'll plug in, and they'll be the best team in the state of Kansas. Now, they'll have a challenge again, likely, with Madison. Madison also graduated some key pieces, but they've got quarterback back in Casey Helm. They've got a young up-and-coming running back, Bryson Turner, that won the 100 in 1A. And they've got a Stutzman kid that is going to be very good for them. And I think that they'll certainly be a factor as well. And then Clifton Clyde, like you mentioned, they of course also, I think this classification is probably most notable for the amount of talent that it graduated from all of these teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cliff and Clyde graduated Aiden Rudolph and some other talented people up front, but they have Jets. I'm going to say this kid's name wrong. Jet Sconcy back, Scockney. Do you know how to say that?
I do not on that one.
Okay. he's a very fast player that's going to do great things for them. They have Seth LeClaire at the defensive end position. That's an outstanding player for them. And I think they have an opportunity. I think these top three teams are really balanced. And then when you get past that, we get into the world of the unknown, because Little River graduated Jaden Garrison and Graham Stevens, and those guys were worth something like 87% of their offense last year. Mm-hmm. And then Wichita County graduated Cade Ritzky and Manny Chavez and Jesse Gardner and A.C. Hermosillo. But they've got a couple kids back, and Tristan Porter. Tristan Porter is a kid that has been kind of waiting for his turn, and he'll have an opportunity to be a really nice player for them. But I feel confident about the top three, Canton, Galva, Madison, Cliff, and Clyde. And then from there, I really can't tell you. I'm intrigued. A team that's not super far away from Beloit, but certainly not close to the area. But Donovan West is a team that has a ton of talent back. And certainly could be a factor. You know, I think you look at La Crosse, they've got Colby Stoll back. I think I referred to him as the Perry Ellis of Kansas high school football. It feels like he's been starting there for like 7 years. Really good, fast player. I'm intrigued by Meade. You know, Sedan in southeast Kansas, the only kid that they lost was their quarterback, and he was a really nice player in Eli Campbell, but a Caney Valley kid transferred for his senior year, and he's going to plug in at QB, and they think they've got a good one in him. So there's a lot of question marks in 8-man-1.
Yeah, definitely. And then one of the teams, or really about the only team in our area, our listening area, that's in 8-man-1 would be Lincoln. Lincoln had their first winning season since 15, went 5-4 a year ago. What can you tell us about Lincoln as they go into this upcoming season?
So Lincoln graduated a really good group of seniors, Tyler Good specifically, 8-man all-star, really outstanding player his entire career here at Lincoln. Landon O'Hare, big, tall, tight end, defensive end type. But they've got 30 kids out at Lincoln. And you probably know that I've coached here in Lincoln over two different stints, 2012 to 14, and then before that, 2001 to 3. And I don't think in any of that time did we ever have 30 kids out for high school football. And the first stint of that, we were 11-man team. So there's a lot of excitement around here. I think maybe they have like 11 or 12 freshmen out. Two kids to keep an eye on for Lincoln. Logan Meyer was the starting quarterback last year as a freshman, did a really nice job, really executes and plays, more mature than a freshman starting quarterback, and now that he's coming back as a sophomore after starting every game, a lot of experience he brings. And then Caleb Dotter, kid that played tight end for them last year but probably moves into the primary running back role for them. I think that they can be very competitive with a lot of their schedule. It's just notable that they have a pretty tough portion of that schedule that includes the Canton Galvas of the world and the Little Rivers of the world. So hard to potentially do anything against those guys, but having 30 kids out for football has the community buzzing and more excited than in a while.
All right, so we put you on the spot. State championship game, 8-man-1. Who versus who?
Well, I really like Canton Galva. I can give you Canton Galva as a firm pick from the East. I'm going to say Hoxie from the West, and that might be a surprising pick to a lot of people because, of course, the graduation of the big 7-foot Harlan Obioha, who we recently learned is going to play basketball at Niagara, and he will be obviously a glaring loss on the field for them, but they've got Ashton Dow back at the quarterback position. And I think they have some other athletes to surround him. So I'll take Hoxie from the west side.
That completes our look at 8-man Division 2 and 8-man Division 1. Join us tomorrow on the Sports Ticket when John will join us again to preview Class 2A, 1A, and 3A in high school football in the state of Kansas. John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame Magazine, back with us tomorrow to preview more high school football on the Sports Ticket.